make our ears sensitive to your voice. We know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Lord, I pray that we would be built up by this word, encouraged, that as we face this world, we may face it not in our unbelief and fear, but in the power and might of the Spirit. So we thank you for this word now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've got a title here for us today, and we're calling our teaching, Not Growing Weary in Doing Good. Not Growing Weary in Doing Good. And I'm basing this today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, which we're going to look at. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. And the apostle says here to this church, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And that's what I'm taking our teaching today from, that verse. Now, we know that the church at Thessalonica has been a faithful church, been going for a number of years, and is believing in the coming of the Lord, waiting, looking up as their redemption draws near. And saints in the church are beginning to die. They are passing on and going home to the Lord. And they're wondering why it's taking so long. They're wondering what is happening. The enemy becomes vocal and starts to suggest, well, what you've been hearing and the words you've been hearing over the years, is it really of God? Or has the preacher got it wrong? And when you begin to entertain those things, you start to become idle. You no longer are as spiritually productive as you used to be. One could say that that was a little bit of the problem with the church at Ephesus. Had everything, had the fivefold ministry, knew the word of God, was diligent, good in discerning, and so on, but was leaving their first love. We're not always aware of these areas that we were once diligent in. We're not so. And we all of us have to be on our guard. We can become weary. And notice what the apostle says to the church. He says, do not grow weary in doing good. And that is one of the major problems. I'm weary because I've been doing good. I've been helping. I've been diligent. I've been faithful. I'm doing everything that God asks and requires of me, but I seem to find very little results that come from it. And as a result, we can start just to become weary. We're starting to question. We're taking our eyes away from that cross that we are to take up daily and follow the Lord. It's all very subtle how it works. You see, these sort of mindsets don't work immediately. It's gnawing away day by day, chipping away, until eventually we begin to realize, by the mercy of God, I'm not as diligent as I once used to be. I don't think I'm in love with Jesus as I once was, or particularly when first saved. I seem to be doing good, but seem to get nothing back as a result. And so we start to become weary. And of course, this is exactly what the enemy wants. And this is where he will start to get in. And he will start to subtly suggest, well, the Lord isn't quite as faithful as he appears to be. And all these promises that he says in his word don't seem to be happening. What is going on? And so we then begin to question, we begin to analyze. And what is happening is we're taking our eyes off God. We're no longer loving the Lord like we once did. We're questioning. And I don't think that there is any Christian who truly means business with God, who wants to be a disciple, a follower of the Lord, is not at times tempted with this or has experienced this. And this is why the apostle writes this in the manner that he does. And he's writing this because this church believes that they are in the end times. They're going to see the coming of the Lord. What they don't realize is, and what is not revealed to them, that some 2,000 years, God is delaying his coming. Now, I don't quite know how they would have coped with that. They probably wouldn't. And that's why God doesn't reveal these things. The same as he doesn't reveal too much to us. He reveals what we're able to handle, what we can cope with. And that's the love and grace and mercy of God. That is why I don't want to know about tomorrow or next week or next year if the Lord tarries. You see, if you don't want to grow weary, fatigue, then something you have got to learn, and you've got to learn it pretty quickly, I live this day for Christ. I face this day, which is a gift, by the mercy and grace of the Lord. And God has not saved me to think or contend with the future and what next week will hold. The enemy is very good at trying to work in our minds, getting us to work out what the future holds, what it's going to be for me. Well, what will I be like in 2 years or 10 years' time if the Lord tarries? Will I still have my mental faculties? Will I still be in good health? Will I still be able to buy food, buy my needs and everything? All these things he tries to get us involved in, worried about, anxious. This is why he, of course, says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. That is only going to happen when we walk by faith this day. How many times have you heard me say, your faith for yesterday is no good for today, and you do not have faith for tomorrow or next year. You have faith for today. That is how God has designed our walk as disciples of Christ, and rightly so, because that enables us to draw all our resources this day from him, including your faith to believe. You have faith today for your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Yesterday's relationship is not suitable. It's gone. It's finished. It is for today. Tomorrow will look after itself if the Lord tarries. And that is how we are to walk, brothers and sisters. And this will be a huge deliverance over your mind and heart and circumstances, and you will no longer be battling depression, weariness, Why does the enemy want to put that on us? Because that is what opens the door to sickness, infirmity, mental oppressions and problems. The world is filled with fear and anxiety and worry. And that is an open door to oppression, to sickness. And I needn't have to tell you, the amount of sickness that is around today is alarming, is frightening. That should not be for the overcomer. And if we desire to obey God and do it His way, then your healing, your deliverance, your protection comes as a result. It's when we take these things in our own hands. I am going to do it. I am going to be in control. That it goes pear-shaped. That is why the cross you bear daily in your life will not let you do that. Why? Because your hands and your feet are suspended on a cross. You are held there for a reason. Spiritually, of course. So this is really what I want us to look at today, to not grow weary in doing good. We're doing good today, coming in fellowship, listening to this teaching. We do good each day. We pursue the things that are good, peaceable, loving, gentle, merciful. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. But there are periods of time when maybe we are a bit tired physically, that the enemy can become very vocal and he can start to say, they're taking advantage of you. They're not really interested in you. It's only what they can get out of you. If our Lord, when he came in the flesh, if he fell for that one, he would have never have gone to the cross. He came with the purpose and motive and heart and spirit to serve. And all those who wish to serve are the ones who grow up into sonship, into maturity. The bride that is making herself ready, she serves. She's going to serve her husband to be. She's going to put his needs and him first. That is how a relationship works. If you always want something out of that relationship, you can't grow in a relationship. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. And this is why in relationships, each other starts to grow weary and tired. I am tired of this relationship. I'm weary of it. Because it's the same old thing. I'm always giving. I'm always going that extra mile. I'm not acknowledged or thanked or recognized. Of course you're not. And you know why? Because God is making out of you an overcomer. You're a doormat in this life. And what makes it even harder, you can buy doormats that have got on it, welcome. That's really rubbing the salt in. But you get my point. And when you can get that drop from the head to the heart, you will no longer battle mood swings. You will no longer be weary, depressed, down, and so forth. Because You are seeing the one you are doing it unto, and that is the Lord. I go that extra mile because of the Lord. I die to those comments because I do it unto the Lord. I give when they don't give because I do it unto the Lord. I keep my mouth shut because I do it unto the Lord. It's relationship every time. I know that it can be weary when we're waiting. We're waiting for the Lord. Or I'm waiting on answers to prayer. Or I'm waiting on my healing, my deliverance. It can feel weary. You think, how much longer? But there's nothing new in that. We see that from Genesis to Revelation. All the saints had to learn to wait on God. And so the apostle here is encouraging these Christians. He's understanding. You know, he's revealing in the context that there's going to come first the great apostasy, the great falling away. Now, they didn't have that in the early church, at the birth of the church. They weren't really seeing the great apostasy and falling away. They might have seen it with preachers and teachers locally in their villages. But unlike what we hear today globally through the internet, that gives us a greater understanding, and what we see that we are indeed in the last days of the great apostasy and the falling away on unprecedented levels, that nothing of this early church or Christians knew about, you see. So we're getting a greater insight, an understanding and revelation of what is happening now in these last days. Everything, it doesn't matter what it is falling from the standard that it used to be. Everything. The morals, the spirituality, leaders, governments, judges, you name it, the whole lot has fallen and is falling. That's why we hear the world saying it's not like it used to be. What's happening? Even the world, many are saying that, who are not in Christ. And here we are, we have the Holy Spirit, revelation, God speaking to us, opening our eyes. What does Galatians have to tell us with regard to holding on and not growing weary and depressed? Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 to 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore we have opportunity. Let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. So the apostle again is bringing up this question to the church at Galatia, because they're all going through a similar situation, exactly what we are doing in FGA. He says, first of all, don't grow weary or depressed, because it's all about sowing and reaping. And he says, when you sow in the times of famine, in the times of dryness and drought, great is your reward. And so God very often puts us in conditions and situations to get the very best out of us. Because he says, those who sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but those who sow to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we don't grow weary because of our sowing, but we do good. In due season, he says, you will reap. So don't lose heart. And he says, you have the opportunity to do good, especially to those of the household of faith. So we do good to one another. We help one another. We pray one for another. We take the burden on. We help. We encourage. The same as I hope this teaching today is helping and encouraging us. Speaking into our situation, our circumstances, or what my week has been, or whatever it will be. And so we see clearly as Christians, we do a lot of sowing. I go back to the parable of the sower. Sowing that good seed. It's not just left to the ministers and pastors. Of course it is, but in your life, you are sowing. And it depends how you sow. Am I going to sow to the flesh? The flesh will always react. But if you sow to the Spirit will act. And there's the difference. You can decide. That's why God calls us to love the unlovable. To embrace those who do wrong to us. It's always going that extra mile. Because our sacrifice is building that relationship with Almighty God. It's building me in the faith. It's giving me stability in Him, you see. Not in my situation or circumstances. That's why our steps of faith are always in peace, in confidence, just moving forward all the time. We're called to be peacemakers, to pursue peace as much as can be possible without compromising our faith. This is why we live in an environment and generation that's anything but everybody's at one another, running down one another, assassinating one another, killing one another, injuring, fighting one another, all of which is getting worse. Politicians now have to be chaperoned. Protected. That's what it's come to now in this country. Just another symptom of the great falling away. Violence getting worse. That's all a form of sowing. But we as believers don't sow to any of that sort of thing. Not at all. What does 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 say? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. See, you do everything in the Lord. You do it unto Him. He is the one who recognizes. He is the one that is pleased by your actions. And He says it's not in vain what you do. This is building you up in the faith, to stand, to endure. This is what gives you the fruit of the Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we really do need to get that from the head to the heart, because then it takes out that sting. It takes out that hurt. It takes out that rejection that the enemy so loves to use. It takes out that self-pity. Poor me. Look what I've done in sacrificing and got nothing out of it. It removes, it closes the door into the mind and stops the enemy from buffeting all the time, you see? There are times when it seems not a lot is happening to what we are believing for and what we have been taught. This is all part of waiting on God, which is not easy. We're waiting on the power, the might and majesty of Almighty God. You see, our waiting on God is not just about you or me or even FGA. Our waiting on God is about how God changes the course of life and eternity. How he moves through governments, how he moves through nations, through society, through hearts, how he moves in his warfare against the powers of darkness and Satan, the god of this world. That is what you are waiting on. And we need to broaden our vision. Seeking the kingdom of God, his righteousness, is not just about you or me. It's far, far bigger. Many of your prayers that you pray, intercede and supplicate goes before the presence of God in order for him to move. And he moves in ways that you cannot even begin to fathom, think, or reason how he moves. How he's working it together for good. That's why he says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. It's vast. It's huge. Everything leads towards eternity, building a future eternity with God. What does 2 Peter chapter 3 say? 2 Peter 3 verses 14, 15. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 14 to 15. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to those things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, as written to you. So there we are. He just gives a small insight to us waiting on God. The long suffering of the Lord is what? Salvation, that your soul will be saved. That is why it takes time. That is why it seems that nothing is happening. Just think for one moment when you're thinking those thoughts and starting to open the door into your mind. No, this is about me being saved. This is about me making it into heaven, into eternity. That is why. And it immediately dispels that depression, weariness, impatience, and so on. It does. That's why we have these promises there, for that very purpose. We have to learn that our Father's heart, the compassion and mercy of his heart, is always to save. That is why God has to call and elect from the foundation of the world. And you and I will know if we're called because we will remain faithful in that calling on our lives. Whatever the trials, whatever the testings, no matter how long it takes, this is why faith will hold on to the promises of God. And much of what we're believing for, confessing for, is delayed in manifestation. But don't give up. Continue with that confession, lining it up with God's word, as Romans 10:10 tells us to do. When you line your confession up with God, even though you're feeling weary, you're tired, or feeling impatient, or wondering how long, or wondering, did God really ever hear me? Continue to line it up with God's word, because God is faithful who has promised, you see. And it will come. Why do you think he allows us to go through these trials and testings, these experiences? Because he's trying to get your faith from the head to the heart. The delays of faith are the best thing to get it from the head to the heart. Of course, it doesn't make any sense. Never does with God. But don't give up. Don't take that substitute. Don't listen to the devil's lies. I tell you, the enemy becomes so vocal in delays, in the trials, waiting. He always becomes very vocal. I wonder why, brothers and sisters. Why does he? Because he knows that God is going to bless you. He's going to answer your prayers. That's why he's a robber and a thief and he steals, he murders. That's his nature, you see. You know what it says in Isaiah 40, verse 31. You probably got it underlined. The famous verse here, and I'm going to quote it to you. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Where does the strength come? Waiting. Delays. Battling. Depression. Fed up with waiting. He says, you're waiting on the Lord. You're not waiting on your impatience, your depression, or when is it going to happen? That's just the flesh trying to have its own way. You wait on the Lord. And as a result, strength is given, is renewed. What for? To receive your blessings. What God has promised you. And as a result, it's going to cause you to mount up like wings of eagles. Because that's what it does. When God raises you up and heals you. When God manifests something you're confessing for and believing for. What does it do? You rise up in the power and strength of God. Because that's what God has promised. He's faithful. You shall renew your strength. Why does it renew your strength? Because God has proved he's faithful. He's answered your prayers. He's not let you down. I shall renew my strength. I'll mount up like wings of eagles. I'll run and not be weary. I walk and not faint. Why? Because I've learned to wait on God each day. Today, you wait on the Lord. Your waiting yesterday is finished, is gone. Don't think about waiting tomorrow, today. What for? So that you mount up with wings like eagles. He renews your youth like the eagles. He gives you strength for this day. He gives you healing for this day. He gives you blessings for this day and everything. That's why. We don't need the things of this world in which to stimulate us, to make us spiritual. This is why I have such concern, because I use Instagram, I use social media for the one purpose, to spread the good news of the gospel. But I see so many are hooked on it. They are addicted. It's a form of drugs. Their spiritual life depends on looking at these videos, these ministers and preachers. And they don't realize they're making themselves vulnerable and open to spirits of deception, doctrines of demons. They become addicted to it, particularly the young people. This is the demonic forces working at present in this world. That is the number one thing Satan is using. Why? I wish more Christians would ask the question, why is this? Why is it I can get held and addicted by this? I know its powers. I know its force that works behind it. Why? Because all of this is getting us through AI to prepare for the mark of the beast. As I have said, the beast system is already speaking, teaching, educating. But behind it are the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. They are working now on these brain chips. Elon Musk's number one project to put these into man's mind, his head. But I think that this technology will be all part of what will go into the chip, the mark of the beast. Making you godlike. Hybridizing you with technology, giving you mental abilities that God never intended you to have, trying to implant superhuman power and strength into you. It's mind-boggling when you listen, and I've listened to a few tapes on this, what they are proposing, what these brain chips are capable of doing. But what they are taking to themselves is the damnation of this. Because it is turning you into your own God. And that's why you will be eternally damned. This is why it is so satanic. This is the last final thing of Satan, to try and destroy the earth, people, God's people. It's outright rebellion against God. But God will cut it short. He knows exactly how far to let this all go. Because he knows those who will take of this mark will be unable to repent and believe, because of the revelation that it gives, the independence of God that it gives. I am my own master. I am my own destiny. They even have the audacity to believe that in this chip they can give eternal life. Blasphemy. All of which to disguise the fact that man has sinned. Man has fallen short of the glory of God. It's trying to erode, cover up that man is conceived as a sinner. The deception of the enemy. Many who are professing Christ are drawing their inspiration, their spirituality, if you like, from all of this on the internet. There are a few teachers, preachers now, who are actually now preaching out on this warning. I was doing this 3 years ago. I saw what was coming with regards to all of this. And I believe God was showing me, because I'm not technically minded at all. I don't know half and a quarter of all of this, but I can see the dangers. I can see what the powers of darkness are doing. And young people are utterly held by this, being conditioned, being prepared to take the mark of the beast. And so when it comes, for most, it will not be a problem. It will be giving them those superhuman powers that they have been promised and been watching and looking at. And sadly, it says in the word of God that if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. So let us not grow weary in well-doing, even though it looks as though the beast system is rising up, it's exciting, it's powerful. Look what it's promising, giving you a changed life and that same old monotony, that same old thing trudging along day by day can make you a god. Wow. Now you can see why God will bring it all down. This spiritual babble that it's building again will tumble down. This is why we do not grow weary in doing good. You have heard from God, and your ears and heart are blessed, brothers and sisters. For flesh and blood doth not reveal this. This comes by the Spirit. And God is warning and speaking through his anointed. He is speaking through the fivefold ministry. That is where we are equipped, we are blessed, ready to be able to function, to stand in the last days. That is why we're in the times of restoration, being restored back now under the headship and banner of Jesus Christ and not under the beast system. That is the difference. Praise God. What a privilege it is. What have we done to deserve any of this? This is the love and grace and mercy of our Father. That is why he's so long-suffering and gentle towards us. I've apologized to the Lord. Lord, I am sorry it takes so long for me to get it from the head to the heart. But there we are. That's our Father's heart, his love. There we are, brothers and sisters. Do not grow weary in doing good. Continue to do good to glorify your Father in heaven.